It's time for slam.
We back. Welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast. These episodes have been few and far between each other. Sorry about not dropping one last week. By my voice, you could probably tell I still have a little bit of a cold, so I was under the weather. That's why we didn't record one last week, but we're back again this week. Might be a little late, but it's better late than never. By the voice, you can tell, again, it's me, the voice of reason, voice of truth, man who speaks the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth, and I will die on this hill. It's Fei, and obviously, as you can see, we're recording in person, so you know it's not Oduak, Ojachi, or Emeka, it's Funta. Thank you for coming back on the show, Funta.
Hi, guys. I'm welcome. I'm back, and I'm not going anywhere for a long time.
All right. So, I don't think there's any better place to start than what happened in Paris.
Oh, we haven't talked about Champions League since then?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Real Madrid ended up winning Champions League final 1-0. 1-0, my bad. 1-0 against PSG. Liverpool, what's going on? What did you make of the game? What did you make of the game?
The game?
Yeah.
Typical Madrid. I'll say it this way. One typical thing about the Real Madrid team always stood out for me was that all they had to do was stay in the game. When a team stays in the game for so long, they're actually going to win. And that, hands down, was down to Thibaut Courtois. Courtois was the reason why they stayed in the game. For a team like Madrid, how they even actually won the Champions League was always staying in the game for so long, giving themselves the best opportunity or so to keep themselves in the game for so long, to win the game, to basically play. And you know what? I just think for me, it was a case of Liverpool had the chances. And I think, you know, on another day, Liverpool would have actually scored.
Sadio Mane,
Salah.
Yeah.
I still have glimpses of that Courtois save from Salah on the right hand side.
Salah did everything right.
The touch, I know, he did.
Control,
everything right.
To beat the defender, to finish off his right foot.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was perfect.
I just think generally for me, it was a case of Liverpool just fell short. And I know me, I was very harsh when they lost the game, because you know what? I had to run my banter. I had to run my agenda at some point, and my agenda had to stand at that moment. But one thing I can say from all of this was that Liverpool played well. But the one thing about this thing, finals are not meant for playing. They are meant for winning. And that was what Madrid came to do. They said, you know what? All the tactics and everything, all we have to do is stay in the game. Ancelotti, why I love Ancelotti more and more is that I was reading about him, and Ancelotti lost the final where in Istanbul. The Liverpool 3-3, he said to this, like, for a while, he didn't even watch the tapes. What he said was that he finally watched the tapes, and he's like, okay, all they had to do was make changes, like change the formation to a back three, play wing backs and everything. That's how Liverpool came back into the game. And he started saying, you know what, I'm going to employ more of this in controlling the games, because all he knows how to do is control the chaos. For so long in the game, I said, you know what, if Madrid survived the first 30 minutes, they're good. And they did. Then immediately they survived the entire first half, no goals, and even Benzema's confusion.
You see, it's offside. It's offside. I don't know what.
No, it's offside. It's offside. But that is the first time in my life I've ever seen that rule.
It literally happened this season, Arsenal versus Watford. Aubameyang missed a chance. It was an open post. But then I don't know how he skewed it, and he went straight to Saka. But because Foster was ahead of Saka,
two players have to be behind Saka.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is the accurate definition, but in my head, I thought about it like, if the keeper is ahead of the last player, the player on the line
becomes
automatically
the
assumes the position of the keeper. So it has to be like two players behind. Two players ahead for it not to be offside. And everyone was saying, okay, we understand that, but what about the last touch of Fabinho? But I think it depends. Like, if it's an actual back pass, then yeah, it's not offside. But if it's like a ricochet off a block or a tackle or something.
It took two ricochets.
Exactly. Like, he didn't have control over where he wanted to play the ball.
But you know, one thing they said is a clear and obvious back pass. Actually, I get what you're saying.
There's a clear and obvious back pass. Like, when City won Chelsea 6-0, the back pass from Ross Barkley was a clear and obvious back pass when he headed the ball back to his defender.
Yeah.
In that situation, it won't be offside. When this situation,
I understand the offside. I understand the offside because that was the first time I actually made on like saw that. I was like, oh, that's actually a new rule. But I'm just saying it's over complication sometimes. Honestly.
I don't think it's a new rule. I just think it barely happens.
It barely happens. It's the first time I've actually seen that. But yeah, what about you?
On the game, I wanted extra time penalties. I just wanted to see both teams trying to kill each other for 90 minutes. And Madrid came. You know, defense wins you championships. That's what they say. And Madrid defended the hell out of their lives.
Not defended, Courtois
on the day. Courtois helped, but like...
Militao and Casemiro.
Alaba played the game of his life. Militao was error-free. Like, in that first half, Liverpool had a lot of chances. Like, Sadio Mane, Salah. I think Salah had two chances.
That's the header and the...
And the shot. Yeah. And then, obviously, Salah's chance that I was talking about. Luis Diaz looked like he was in hell.
Against
Carvajal. Oh. Locked up, he won't let him out. And I don't know why everyone is surprised. Like, if you watch Madrid...
No, but Carvajal...
Watch that three-peat Madrid team,
okay,
you would know that this is nothing new from Carvajal. For me, that was the difference between him and a lot of right-backs he was being compared to back in, like, 2017. He always stood out defensively to me. He would always stay disciplined on the defensive side of things. You would get past him, you know, through the game. Every winger gets past the fullback.
Mm-hmm.
But his recovery is amazing. He's disciplined on the defensive end, and he can whip a cross in.
And he was doing offense. He was doing well offensively.
Yeah, like, you know, finding Ronaldo on those crosses, whether it's outside foot, whether he's whipping it across, whether it's a low cross. He was one of the more unsung heroes in that Madrid team. You know, Marcelo got all the credit because he's a flashy player.
Mm-hmm.
Sergio Ramos and Varane were. But he was probably the unsung hero of that Madrid team because he did a lot for them on that right-hand side, especially when you consider the fact that Bale stopped starting and Isco would drop in between Benzema and like behind Benzema and Cristiano.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's really no support for him on that right hand side. Like he has no winger coming to track his runner or some stuff like that. Okay. It was really one-on-one defense. And he showed up for majority of the games that they played. Talk about they play against Bayern, Napoli, PSG, Juventus. Like, how many solid teams did he come up against? And he has held his own. So, when everyone was surprised about what...
No, I wasn't surprised, did to Luis Diaz, but I expected, shocked. Like, you know, Luis Diaz has been skimming a lot of defenders this season.
Yeah, but
so,
he just...
But,
he
like, just that day...
Like Luis Diaz looked like he was just playing with...
But I didn't support that sub that Klopp made him, because no matter what, Luis Diaz has that chaos factor.
Nah, he was being very chaotic on the day. I wanted them to take off Diaz, put Mane on the left and have Jota up top.
But that's what they did.
Yeah.
But I still believe Luis Diaz would have still had, I don't know.
He wasn't effective in the game. He wasn't doing anything.
Who did they bring him on for? Jota.
Yeah. Yeah. And Thiago didn't look 100% fit. I thought Fabinho was outstanding.
Thiago played well.
In midfield. Thiago didn't look 100% fit, but he balled out.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I do not know why Jordan Henderson starts games for Liverpool in 2022. This is not 2018. This is not 2019, where you have a midfield of Chan, Henderson, and Milner. You're past that level right now. Jordan Henderson should not be starting games for Liverpool. I just don't think he's that good.
You know how people respect... You know, there was one thing someone said, that Jordan Henderson is... A lot of players respect Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, but respect.
That's why he's still
respect
in
is good off the court. Udonis Haslem still has a contract in Miami because they respect him, but he's not going to see minutes because he's not good enough. Henderson should not be starting the Champions League final for Liverpool.
So who should have started?
I mean, if Naby Keita, I like Naby Keita.
Naby Keita is so chaotic.
I like Naby Keita, but he's just very inconsistent. Like, one week he looks like he's clicking, and then the next week he looks like he doesn't know how to play ball. I just don't think Henderson is good enough to be starting for this Liverpool side at the level that they are right now.
I don't think Naby Keita is the one that you should even call it. That means Liverpool should probably get a new midfielder.
I mean, yeah, they do need a new midfielder, but like, Ox was thriving in that Henderson role. When they reached the final in 2018. And I know he hasn't gotten his chance ever since he got back from that injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying give him a start, but next season, if you're not getting a midfielder, I would try giving Oaks more minutes than Henderson, because to me, he's a better footballer than Henderson.
Fair enough. Okay. Then, well, okay. In terms of Liverpool's season, then, what do you think? Like, do you think it's... How, because they were talking about quadruple, but now it's just two.
It's a solid season, regardless. It's a solid season. It's always a solid season when every single competition you're in, you had a hand in deciding who the winner was. Premier League went onto the final day of the season. Carabao Cup, they won it. FA Cup, they won it. Champions League, they go to the final.
So, there's a question I always need to ask. Then someone said this once then. Why don't we give Madrid in the past that much credit?
What Madrid?
The Madrid that will get 92 points, 93 points, get to the semi-finals and still lose.
That's semi-finals.
But, like, they will still get that far.
Are you talking about Jose's Madrid?
Jose's Madrid, Carlos...
Jose's Madrid gets all the credit in the world, though.
No, I'm talking... Okay, yeah, that's Jose's Madrid when they didn't get to the semi-finals.
They got the problem was they didn't get to the final. Ronaldo was signed in 2009, and their first final came in 2014. That was the problem. They would lose like stupid losses to Borussia Dortmund where Lewandowski is scoring how many goals. Ronaldo misses a penalty in the shootout in 2012. I don't even know who they lost. They lost to Lyon in 2009, I think, or 2010. Like, you know, the things like that. That's why people were sending for them. But, like, in terms of the league, there's not much you can do. That Barcelona team is probably the greatest team of all time.
Okay.
So, I give that Madrid team all the credit. Same way I'm giving this Liverpool team all the credit. Now, the reason people have problems with Liverpool is because the media puts them in conversations like, oh, greatest team of all time. No, you can't be up there with the Barcelonas and all those teams if you
not
won one Premier League title
and one Champions League.
Even like one Champions League is fine, but there needs to be a level of dominance in your domestic league. Yes, and consistently finishing second to Manchester City is not a level of dominance you need
exactly
to be up there with the greatest teams of all time. But in terms of this season, I mean, for the level that Liverpool are at, it's disappointing any season you don't win the league. But if any other team had the season Liverpool had, they'd be quite okay with it.
But that's Liverpool, because Liverpool have maintained that dominance.
I mean, it's
Liverpool
not as bad as people are making it out to be. Everyone's
calling out club. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but that conversation of making them in the best...
That's why people have a problem with it. They're not. They don't deserve to be up there. Right now, we're
talking about invincibles, you're talking about the 99
centurions, treble winners.
Like, there were trophies to show. We're talking about one,
they've won every trophy,
they've won
every trophy but once,
exactly. Yeah. That is the question. That's one thing I'm saying. They've won every trophy but once. If it was a case of they've won this one this season, they won another one this season.
If they had won the Champions League this season,
then we'll start a conversation.
It will be no. Probably won't start a conversation, but like it'll be way more of a success than people think or what people are
saying
right
now.
They were 90 minutes away from, you know, being European champions for the second time in 4 seasons.
And 30 minutes away
from being Premier League champions. Like, those are fine margins. And for me, if it's a different case if they lost all their finals. And I know everyone has a problem with Klopp's record in finals. I think he's what?
4-13.
4-13. That's not good enough. Even Wenger had over 500 in his.
I know he has finals. Less than. I think he has a 30 something or 40.
Yeah, Wenger was. I think he was 55% in his finals. So that's not good enough. He has to improve. But like, everyone overreacting on Liverpool, blah blah.
Don't get me wrong. It's the overreaction is caused by Liverpool fans.
Yeah, not Liverpool fans. If you have the chance to go for a quadruple, you're running your mouth. It's the media and the way Pep came out and said, everyone in England wants Liverpool to win the Premier League. Mm-hmm. It's kind of true when you see some of the stuff that the media writes about Liverpool and compare it to what they write about City.
Yep.
I had a couple headlines, but I completely forgot them. But like, I saw some headlines and I was like, okay, yeah, I see where Pep is coming from. Mm-hmm. So that's the major reason. And then you have someone like Michael Owen, literally you lose the Champions League final and he's saying, I still think they're the best team in Europe. It's things like that that make people not like Liverpool. But the season they had wasn't as bad as the...
No, we know that.
It wasn't as bad. But the problem is that now, like Culturecom said, you're going to be remembered as the greatest runners-up of all time.
Challengers.
Greatest runners-up of all time. And that's not where you want to be if you're Liverpool. You have to win the league next season. You just have to win the league next season.
No, they do.
Screw it. You have to win the league and the Champions League next season.
No, at least give them the league for a start. They have to win either one.
They need the league more than they need the Champions League.
Okay, yes. They need the league more than Champions League.
Yeah. They just have to win the league next season. And how does God have it that the year they win the league is the year that COVID happens? So, the first time they win the Premier League.
Asterix! They'd
already won the league before.
COVID. I mean, fair enough.
But, like...
But you know how
I'm even thinking more of the fans. Like, your first Premier League in how many years? You never got a parade for that.
Bro, I'll be hurt, bro.
Like, they just need to win the league next year.
Okay.
Just to right all the wrongs.
But let's talk about the one thing that I think people have been talking about. The midfield, Madrid, compared to Xavi Iniesta. I just want to... There are a lot of good points there, but I actually think...
They've won 5 Champions Leagues.
That is
Xavi, Iniesta, and Busquets won 3, I think.
3 together, yeah.
2011, 2009, 2011, 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these guys have won 5. I mean...
And they won 3 in a row.
The thing is, this midfield is more successful. They 3-peated and stuff like that. But when you watch the actual games, what Xavi, Busquets, and Iniesta
did Xavi did not really do anything for 2015. 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
2015, it was being phased out. 2011. Obviously, 2009 and 2011, that was the moment that everybody
That's
stopped.
What I'm saying. It's very comparable. And I don't know, maybe it's because of nostalgia, but like when I used to watch Arsenal against that Barcelona team, the way the midfield had you just...
So cold.
Like, you were panting in your own living room if you were watching that, just having to...
I mean, why am I even talking? They're the one that actually defeated United 2009-2011.
That 2011 final, did you watch that final?
Come on, Wembley.
That 2011 final was something else. The performance from Messi, the performance from David Villa, from that midfield trio.
That's so funny. The front three, Pedro, David Villa, and Messi scored in that final.
I'm saying to you, like, I understand and... Because I prefer Madrid, I will probably end up picking Casemiro, Modric, and Cruz. Because
but here's the thing.
Enough is not being stated about how solid they were.
Someone said this. I think it was on Stadio, like a podcast. They said this. They said, why people need to understand that we need to give a little bit more credit to these three is because they were brought from different areas. Those three, Busquets, Xavi, and Iniesta,
La Masia,
always play together.
Yeah.
But this one... They know they came from this place, they came from this place, they came from this place.
And Luka Modric is the best thing that Jose Mourinho did for Real Madrid.
To buy him there, bro.
Not just to buy him there. Remember, he had a terrible first season. Mm-hmm. And he begged the media, the fans, to just stay with it. You'll reap your rewards. Right from the moment
even in Spurs, his first season in Spurs was mid.
Right from the moment they signed Toni Kroos, you just knew perfect fit. Toni Kroos came after they won in 2014.
After they won in 2014. So that means he has only 4.
No, he has 5. He won in Bayern.
Yeah. Oh, he won in 2013.
Then he lost to Madrid in 2014.
So
he didn't lose to Madrid. He moved to
he
Madrid.
He lost to Madrid in
semifinals. Yeah. That makes sense.
So, and then you have Casemiro. Casemiro was just the missing link in that midfield. I remember when I started seeing
Rafa Benitez.
Yeah.
Rafa Benitez.
I can't remember who he was playing.
I think it was playing all the star-studded guys. Yeah. James Rodriguez. And he was moving mad. I think he put like a front, he put James Rodriguez in the three with
Benzema and Ronaldo.
I don't know. He was just making one madness.
Yeah, but then you now
Zidane
have
came back.
Zidane comes in, inserts Casemiro into the starting lineup, and he just that's just been the difference for Madrid ever since then.
Mm-hmm.
Casemiro may not be of that level, like in terms of technical ability. But his ability to win the ball back, his ability to put the body on his line, his ability to make that last ditch tackle. Do you know how many last ditch tackles he made for Madrid in the final? Mm-hmm. I respect the midfield trio so much. And watching them right now, like, it's amazing what they're doing right now because of their age. But if you want to see them play, go watch what they did in 2017.
Oh, that dumb.
That 2017 team was
against Juve.
Was not just Juve, like, I'm talking about across the whole season because they won La Liga that season as well. Watch what those three did in that season. Watch how they coped against Bayern Munich. Watch what they did against Napoli. Watch what they did against Juve in the Champions League final. Watch what they did against Atletico in the first leg, that Ronaldo hat-trick in the semi-final. Watch what they did across the whole season in that La Liga season. That midfield trio is something special.
Mm-hmm.
And it has earned the right to be right up there alongside Busquets, because when you win five Champions Leagues in a row.
No, three in a row.
Sorry, three in a row, but like five Champions Leagues as a trio.
Five Champions Leagues.
Four Champions Leagues as a trio.
Five Champions Leagues in 8 years.
Four Champions Leagues as a trio.
Yeah, that's a trio.
No, it's 4 in 8 years.
No,
5 in 8 years. But Cruz wasn't there.
Yeah.
Cruz and Casemiro weren't there for
2014. So that's five in 7 years.
8 years. 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
So it's 2014,
That's solid. That's solid.
That is the kind of dominance we're talking about that will make people remember you.
Yeah.
5 in 8 years.
Yeah, but then when you look at what Xavi, I know they had Messi and all that, but like, they won 6 trophies in a year in 2011.
Bayern done that too.
They clean sweeped, but like, they weren't as dominant as that Barcelona side.
I mean, everyone done it, bro. Bayern did it too. But we don't talk about them like that. We just talk about them
because
like that.
Because they were one and done.
Huh?
One and done.
Okay, Bayern won 2013 and in the COVID era 2020. So.
I respect Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'll go for Madrid 3. I think just because of their dominance on the European stage.
Bro, 5 in 8 years is not normal. Yeah. That is 5 in 8.
Yeah, and how old are they now? Modric is probably 36. Chris Casemiro. Is probably 33, 34. Casemiro should be entering his 30s.
I think Chris is just like 32.
Then Casemiro should be entering his 30s as well. So it's, you just have to reward that. And Madrid showed resilience. Federico Valverde, right from the moment he was inserted into this Madrid team, when he took that red card on Morata in the Spanish Super Cup.
You knew that guy was going to the top.
He just hasn't looked back. From the moment he was inserted into this Madrid team. And then you look at the fact that I don't think Camavinga even played.
Camavinga came on just to do what he could.
But the worst thing about the final was me seeing Dani Ceballos happy. He doesn't deserve to be happy. I'm starting a petition to have his Champions League medal stripped of him because he doesn't deserve a Champions League medal. I'm even done.
He played minutes. But Eden Hazard, the Champions League winner.
And I respect Hazard as well for saying
I've done my time.
Next season.
I like how a player did not take. He said, "You know what? This is me." But there's also something. Can we talk about how Madrid are just like, you know what? We finish this work. We're going on to the next. Tchouaméni.
Yeah. That's how you build. That's how you replace a midfield of Casemiro, Cruz, and Modric.
Then you now say Fedi.
Tchouaméni, Fedi, and Fedi doesn't get enough respect, in my opinion.
Oh, like, he doesn't.
He covers. That, like, do you see the way he runs? He's an engine. Right wing, right midfield, right back, right wing back, anything down that right is his. And just the vision to play that pass across for Vinicius.
Is that a pass or a shot?
I think it was a pass.
I look at it from another angle, I think it was a pass because he knew.
A pass.
As soon as Fede was running the ball, I kept screaming back post because he's this kind of smart player that knows that Vinicius is there.
And Trent, you slept.
I can't even blame. You know who I can't even blame? I can't even blame Trent.
You have to have knowledge of where your man is. There's no man in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And Konate has covered. Konate, by the way, what a performance!
Ibu, bro, Konate, I respect you, man.
Like, outstanding.
Ibrahim Konate is a baller, man.
To come into your first season and bench a defender of the level of what's his
Matip?
Joel Matip. Ibu is a class defender. Class defender. But
they will compare him to Upamecano, but you know, Ibu has silently done the work, bro.
Trent slept off. He's the reason.
You know why I don't blame Trent that much? I look and go, I go and watch, what do you call it? This guy, Van Dijk.
No, everyone is just getting on Van Dijk.
No. You closed down your man. He was just giving him space.
No. It's defending 101. To always know where your man is, especially at the back post,
mm-hmm.
as a fullback. Robertson doesn't let that happen.
True. But I still think Van Dijk had some path to play.
I don't think so.
Because what I expect, like, you can close down your man and still cover space.
I don't think so.
But Van Dijk kept on running back, covering Freddy, and that is the thing.
I don't think so. I don't think he's on Van Dijk. I think he's
no. I think there's a little blame that can go to Van Dijk.
I think people are reaching on that.
I'm not reaching. I think
Trent.
Well, I didn't even want to blame Trent, but Trent was not even having the best game.
He didn't have a good game.
He didn't have one of the best games.
He did not have a good game. Manu was decent, but he wasn't all that. Mm-hmm. Luis Diaz was chaotic. Salah had a decent game. I know everyone was expecting fireworks after that. We have a score to settle. But if you look at it with your honest eyes, Salah actually had a decent game.
Oh, Salah. No, I know it came from him, but Salah had a decent game.
Fabinho,
Salah did everything right.
Fabinho was amazing, in my opinion. Like, every time I watch Fabinho, he just makes me... He's everything to that Liverpool midfield.
Okay, then. So, what next for Liverpool, then?
Well, you're losing Sadio Mane.
Darwin
Nunes is what's next.
Darwin Nunes.
And a lot of people asked me, oh, would you want Darwin at Arsenal? I said, no, but you better not let him go to Liverpool. I think I told you that. I told some United fans that as well. He's the perfect profile for Liverpool. And everybody's talking about touch. Like, Twitter tacticals irritate me so much because they're so convincing. Like, they convinced me Tielemans wasn't a good baller. Did the same thing with Odegaard last year. They just a couple
comes. You have to form your opinions.
Yes, and
you literally have to form your opinions.
And now everyone is saying, "Oh, 80 million for Darwin Nunes, but we paid 80 million for this." Blah blah blah.
Well, it's a gamble.
It's not a gamble. I'm telling you right now, Darwin Nunes is going to shine.
Oh, I know it's going to shine. I know it's going to shine. But for me, let me say my own thing. I think Darwin Nunes is going to kill into Liverpool. The one thing I can say is that, you know what? They have the best crossers in the game, and we let a man whose aerial ability
is like
balls and all those Jordan.
Keeps talking about, oh, he's only been dominant for one season. One season is all you need. Mbappe was dominant for one season in Monaco. PSG broke transfer record for him.
But there are players who have been dominant.
Diego Costa was dominant for one season. Chelsea went and broke the bank for him.
But there are some also that have been dominant that we don't hear.
Like Holland was dominant for one season in South probably North. More than one season, but like his dominance was showcased for one season, and then look where he is right now.
It's fair enough. I just think like there are not many number nines, and you know what, you pay for your striker. If Sadio Mane is
for me, he's the perfect profile for Liverpool. He doesn't need that.
And that's the thing, he's the perfect profile for Liverpool, but not the perfect profile for every other team.
Yeah, so why is everyone crying? Like,
that's what I was saying.
They convinced you, Twitter Tacticals convinced a lot of people that he wasn't a good footballer.
Uh-huh.
He might not be a perfect fit for your team.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's gone to Liverpool,
you can see why.
Don't cry when he starts putting up numbers. Because you convinced the whole Twitter world that he wasn't a good footballer. I've not watched enough of him to say that, oh, he's going to be world class. But I just know he's going to show up for Liverpool. He's going to put up numbers. So Darwin Nunes is what's up next.
I don't like
Fabio Carvalho is.
Oh yeah, that's another as well.
Javier Elliott is coming back. I'd rather have Javier Elliott in the midfield than Jordan Henderson, to be fair. Like, he's young, but like, he's way more talented. I think they do need a midfielder to like just shore up that midfield with. Thiago and Fabinho.
I've been saying that Yves Bissouma is still available there.
Yeah,
Yves Bissouma. I will never forget when Kalanka once said, Kalanka works for the Athletic. He said, you know, whenever you look at Bissouma, you're like, I want him, but that looks so good for Liverpool.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with Darwin Nunes. Like, Darwin Nunes for me, when, you know, I saw my United fans shouting that, why are we not signing Darwin Nunes? I'm just like, you still have a midfield to cover and you still want to go and spend the bulk of your budget on Darwin Nunes.
I think Yves is a solid shout, to be fair. Yves is a solid shout for Liverpool.
For Liverpool, yeah, it is. Yeah. But, like, don't, like, you need to stop looking at some things and start looking, is who the profile of the player, does it fit my team?
Yep.
If he doesn't, he's not a bad
player.
That's
why I didn't want Nunes, because I don't think Nunes can operate as Teta's number nine.
You know another thing I noticed from him, from watching a little bit of his comps and also like trying to understand his positional awareness, he operates a lot from the left-hand side.
That's, yeah.
So he plays more like an inside forward, which basically is Liverpool.
But
he can also play as a striker.
Yeah, he has a solid weak foot. He's quick. I don't know about the weak foot thing. I think I'm reaching. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, no, it's decent. It's decent. It's decent. It's decent there.
His aerial ability with Trent and Roberts. I'm telling
you. Oh, and I think he also has decent 1v1 ability.
I'm telling you right now, when that guy starts putting up numbers next season, do not complain. Because you all convinced yourselves that he wasn't all that. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, that's enough for Liverpool and Madrid. Big up them, Madrid getting Tchouaméni. Like, there's not much we can say about that. And everyone is saying,
bro,
100 million is too much for Tchouaméni. Stop. Stop.
But it stop. Well, it's the market. I think it is, but at the same time, Madrid are going all out. Sure. I see them still going for someone else, like, get someone as well. Because, you know, I think, should we go into the next one on
Mbappe?
The list? Yeah, Mbappe. Based on Mbappe not coming to Madrid.
Yeah.
We never really addressed it. But can I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So Mbappe didn't go to Real Madrid. And for me, days leading up to that, his announcement and decision, I was like, you know what? I would like to see him go against the grain. The only thing I can say Mbappe was not right for is like, yeah, you promised a lot of people. I saw a lot of Twitter accounts who had been open for Mbappe. Like Mbappe stan accounts, you know how they have this Mbappe stan accounts. Apparently, those were Madrid fans. So that's to say that a lot of people expected, you know what, Jose Pedro and El Chiringuito. You remember, you know El Chiringuito now?
Yeah.
TikTok guys. They said the same thing that Mbappe gave them their word. So Mbappe did give them their word. And that's true. But for me, I love chaos. I genuinely love the chaos that it ensued because it showed me that, you know what, let us start having players that go against the grain. Let us have new stories. Because let's be honest, every good player that we know always goes like, you know what? Big club, Madrid or Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Big club, Madrid or Barcelona. Big club, maybe Bayern, maybe Juve. In fact, they even go from Bayern to Madrid or Barcelona. I'm just trying to tell people that let's have new stories. And for me, Mbappe staying, yes, he gets to get paid. He gets paid, bro. Generational words. And again, he's 23.
My word is worth less than 300 million. I'm just telling you right now.
I don't believe in that 300 million signing bonus, but I know we are talking close to that. He could have 100 million signing bonus. Like, we could have something huge like that. And, bro, every one of you will talk. But if they drop money like that for
straight up, bro,
you would remember that you're still 23. You got time.
300 million. Please.
I don't know if it's 300 million, please. But I'm just saying the money that they drop for the boy, he earns 30 million pounds, 30 million euros after taxes.
If that signing bonus is real, nobody in the world should complain about his decision to stay. And I was going to say as well, I think Cristiano was supposed to leave Barcelona. Man U a season earlier.
Yeah. But they begged him.
Sir Alex convinced him to stay.
Yeah.
For one more season.
He even went to the media and said, I'm a prisoner in Manchester now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's two complete decisions because Ronaldo actually wanted to leave. Mbappe decided to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, 2008, I think they won the Champions League in 2008.
Yeah. 2008. Yeah.
But then they lost in 2009.
That's when he now left.
Yeah. I don't have any problem with Mbappe staying. More to do with the money. It's like he's still 23. 3 years' time, he'll be 26 in the peak of his powers. I don't know if... I guess people have a real problem with him giving them his word and going back on it. But if Mbappe is free again in 3 years' time, Madrid is 1,000% going... Burn all the stupid Florentino has pride nonsense. Kylian Mbappe on a free, any single person in this world that can get him will try and get him. Like, forget the pride. I guess he give them his
I won't respect Liverpool for even trying to be put themselves in the story. I like that. I like that because here's the thing. We need to start creating... Football gets boring when it's the same thing over and over again. Oh, he's going to Madrid. And I understand. And my own issue is that, you know what, like, I respect Madrid. I like players going to Madrid because I like Madrid at the pinnacle of football. This is how many? 14 Champions League / European Cups. And every player wants to go there, but let's have new stories. Let's have new stories. Let's tell our kids new stories that, you know what, yeah, Mbappe rejected Madrid. And everybody's like, really? And for me, generally speaking, the repercussions of Mbappe staying seem good to me for PSG.
I don't trust them,
but first things first, immediately they signed Mbappe and Leonardo left, I was like, you know what? This is good. That is how you know that, you know what? Everyone talks about GM Bruno, what they call him?
Le GM,
that's what they call him. Might have, I don't know how to say it. Jambappe. So that is the same thing. It didn't run. But yeah, like the same thing. I'm just trying to say that, you know, the repercussions of Mbappe staying are good for PSG because they sacked Leonardo. Leonardo has been trash. He gave Draxler a new contract. He signed Danilo Pereira. Danilo Pereira is decent, but he's not Madrid level. They now have a new, today, announced their new sporting director in Luis Ocampos, the same man responsible for Mbappe, same man responsible for Lemar, that Monaco team, Fabinho, all these guys. He's my man responsible for signing top talent. So guess what? And he's in the French league. The one thing that I really hate PSG for not doing is not becoming more like Bayern. Someone said this. They said, you know what, like, look at Man City. Man City came into the league and started buying players from the Premier League because they took charge of the Premier League. So
screw Premier League. Started buying players from Arsenal.
Yeah, because Arsenal need to pay the stadium. But they signed Gareth Barry. We're talking about Gareth Barry.
James Milner.
All the players from the league.
Julian Lescott.
What's the other? There was this other guy too.
Gael Clichy. Sami Nasri. Manuel Adebayor.
Yeah, that is how you do it. Take over Bayern. Players want to play for Bayern, but the fact that Tchouaméni, in another league, Tchouaméni should have been, if PSG started signing well, instead of signing outrageously, going to other leagues, if they could just sit down and be like, I think I said this last week,
and I don't know if you were there when I said it, but PSG is not Bayern. French people do not rate PSG
because French people are different.
No, because PSG are not, like, they don't consider PSG a big club in France.
That's true.
Like, if it's Marseille that had all this money, everyone is staying.
So the football heritage is important.
Yeah, like Bayern is Bayern. Mm. Like, Oliver Kahn, old Gerd Müller, all those big players. Mm-hmm. But PSG is not considered as, Lyon is bigger. Marseille is most definitely bigger than PSG in France. Saint-Étienne is a cultural club in PSG. That's why you saw the fans react the way they reacted to getting relegated. Yeah. And I think I heard this from someone saying, I think it was a French player that said, they don't really rate PSG like that. They don't. And maybe that's why, because I know they wanted Tchouaméni as well.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why some of these French players don't stay. Because to French people, I believe football heritage is very important. I believe so.
That's why I was like, you know what? Pogba should have gone there. But I think Pogba also has Marseille.
Maybe he doesn't rate PSG like that. Marseille, like, I think it's a thing amongst French players.
It's up to you. Like, it's... Well, and also, I think people... Man City had a bit of... No, not really. They didn't. But what I'll say is that, you know what? I think PSG might be on the rise. And I'm going to say it now. I think Lionel Messi is going to turn back the clock a bit.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
Messi, I don't know. Like, when I think about this Messi season, I'm just like, many people don't understand the mental toll it could be, like, leaving your comfort for 30 years, where you've been for almost your entire life, practically your entire life or your entire footballing life, to move to a new country. Start all over. Your children have never left the country before, to move to a new country. Then even for the Champions League this thing, Messi had COVID where he had some regressions. He's not even listening. I'm just saying, I think Lionel Messi might run it back for us next season.
He's not running anything back.
Lionel Messi, and I think PSG, if they sign well, get new players, apart from the Mbappe this thing, they need to sign a new midfield, sell
they
all
need
those.
Midfield. They need a midfield to accommodate Verratti.
Mm-hmm.
They need a solid partner for Marquinhos.
Because Kimpembe is done. Kimpembe
is rated, I'll be honest with you.
He's decent.
I do not rate him. Nuno Mendes is a good buy. I like Nuno Mendes.
Hakimi is there as well too.
They just need Federal to fill Ramos up on certain. Well, yeah, but that guy, he doesn't play football again.
Like, he's they just need injured. To fill, and they need to go and buy a striker. I would love to see Richarlison there.
There was even, oh my God, bro. There was even talks of Mourinho taking over at PSG. I would have loved to see that.
That would be
so chaotic. I would have loved it so much. A man said Neymar will be watching PSG win Champions League 1-0 from the bench. And I respect it. I respect it.
Why don't you worry? You don't worry, Charles.
No. What?
Why?
No. No. Why I don't buy think? I don't think he's that quality.
I think he's meant to be in the Champions League club now.
Yeah.
But again, absence of number nines in the game. Absence of number nines in the game. And I think you were there when I was discussing with like Bolu when we're talking. Bolu is a friend of Paul.
Yeah, there's no out and out nines.
There's no out and out. There's mostly forward.
Is that bald idiot's fault?
So Manchester. I think we actually we came up with this and that. You know what? Number nine started to end after Pep's era with Barcelona. I don't know why, but I think that's the problem. Because
that season, he played Messi in false nine. He's responsible for all this. You know what's even funny?
He brought Thierry Henry and now playing him on the left wing.
On the left wing. But Titi started on the left though in Juve. He was on the left wing.
Thierry moved up, but became a striker. Yeah. This was not Pete Thierry Henry anymore. In his last few days, he put him to the left wing. He sold Samuel Eto'o too. He brought Ibrahimovic, sold him again.
Yeah, the striker market is lacking.
Even David Villa, that was a striker, he played him on the left.
So
I think David Villa was maybe played left and right, but it seems like Pep, because everyone loved Pep football, but I genuinely think that Pep might have a hand in the absence of number nine strikers, because everyone started to train players more like technical and everything. Like even now when you go watch like kids train, they're like more emphasis on passing.
I think Harry Kane is the last of a dying breed.
Harry Kane, Lewandowski.
Yeah, like, but Kane is younger. That's why I said
he's the last one. I don't see any striker.
Nowadays, like, strikers are meant to be able to be versatile. You must be able to go on the left, must be able to go on the right.
Hold up play.
Yeah. Not necessarily hold up play, but, like, you have to be good on the ball if you want to be a striker.
There's really no striker that we can say that, you know what, like, there is.
Maybe Vlahovic?
Yeah, Vlahovic. Because I want to see even Allegri doesn't play him. Allegri.
Pain,
I don't even know what I don't know who advises
I don't
players.
Want to get into Italian players.
I don't even know what he advises players, but I think you see another thing I was talking about. Italian players in Italian league wanted to go to Italy compared to PSG French league because the Juve have the I don't even know your advice Vlahovic because you went to a team
not
that
just Juve though, like even Tonali went AC Milan
and everything.
Yeah.
Shout out to Milan though.
Yeah, shout out Milan. Chelsea, Pogba. Pogba's officially left Man United. He doesn't have a club as of now. But everyone expects him to go to Juve. I mean, it's boring.
Can I give my final farewell to him?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. As many of some of you know, Paul Pogba is my favorite player. Right now, and he still is. For every year you think that, you know what, Pogba is going to work out. It doesn't. And I'm glad it's over, but at the same time, I'm sad. You know, it's been coming for almost 3 years. We knew, But the fact that, you know what, well, there was a time in 2020 where he texted Ollie that he wanted to sign a new contract, that means that man loves United. Because no player in the right mind should be leaving the comfort of Juve to go to United in 2016. Well, except because you got Mourinho that time. But Man United genuinely had no plan for Paul Pogba. And that is why the success was not there. Every single time you see Paul Pogba playing in the middle, mid with a dead leg Matic, or with McTominay, who
there
hides
was wing bar as well.
There was wing bar, there was number 10 bar, there was nothing. Even striker too.
I don't think anyone called him number 10 bar.
I don't care, man. There was even striker. Even Ragnick played him as a false nine striker too.
Yes.
So when you think about all the problems in United.
Someone said unlocking Paul Pogba should be a Netflix series.
But I'm just saying, like, oh, Paul Pogba leaving United. It's sad. Because I think, you know what? The worst decision he made in his life was coming back to United.
Yep.
The worst decision, because my man should have been in a Ballon d'Or poll or something
he
like
was,
that.
His whole career was set and he just went flat going to United. At least he has a World Cup.
And you know, at least he has a World Cup. And you know, but you know, there were things that, you know, he's the epitome of what the problems in United are. You sign a player, okay, let's see how it's going to work. But you have no plan to make
and
the player.
He was the glue that even tried his best to hold this United team together.
I prepared my speech. I'm coming. So, for every one of you, Twitter fans, each and every one of you, because of Mourinho calling him a virus. First of all, Mourinho is a psychopath. I'm going to tell you everyone right now. You can win as much as you can. But
I am Jose Mourinho.
What he said, what he did to Pogba that time, Pogba wanted to leave the club. Fine, he wanted to leave the club, but you called him out in front of everybody. You told Pogba was injured. You told Pogba to stay away from training. To stay away from this thing. Then he now did in a meeting, and I was not telling the players that players should, what do you call it, that no player should be his captain. But first of all, he's the one that appointed Pogba captain.
He was captain of the team?
There was at the beginning of 2018-2019 season. It was, yeah. Pogba came back from the World Cup, then Pogba became captain. But that time, Pogba was thinking of leaving and everything.
But Valencia was club captain,
Captain. Pogba was vice captain. Yeah. So Valencia was up, but so Pogba was now vice captain. Mourinho made Pogba vice captain because Pogba was not vice captain the season before. Now, there were situations in the club and Pogba was like, you know what, Pogba realized, you know what, this is not working for me. Let me think of trying to leave. Now, he made Pogba captain. He now told Pogba had injury. He told Pogba to stay away from training camp, training and everything. He now did a meeting, but the players, players had WhatsApp and were sending him voice note of what Mourinho was saying. Then when Pogba got back, he did announce the meeting, stripping Pogba. So in my head, I'm just like, you knew he was going to leave. You could see that there were problems there, but you still made the decision to make him captain.
No, he still Pogba still loved United though. Like,
I don't even know. Like for a man to be silently going through all these problems and still say I'm still going to be here, bro.
I read the article where he was the glue that held United together this summer, this season.
Ragnick and everything.
Ragnick called a meeting to talk about players for him, and it degenerated into players attacking his tactics. Mm-hmm. And Ragnick went to apologize.
No, Pogba.
Sorry, Pogba went to apologize to Ragnick.
After the meeting.
Yeah. Pogba would also beg Ronaldo, not beg, but like, speak to Ronaldo to like, mind how he's speaking to some of the players that he may come across or rub them off the wrong way. Also, like, he was always putting it was always a shoulder for Maguire to lean on, because apparently after the game where they won Brighton 2-0, where Ronaldo and then Bruno scored in injury time, he walked up to Maguire and is like, oh, you're an 80 million player for a reason. That's why you're an 80 million player. The thing is, it's just ironic to me that it's the moment a decision is announced that he's about to leave United that you're seeing articles come out like this, when all you have on TV is, what's his name? Graham Souness and Jose Mourinho.
And Roy Keane.
Roy Keane attacking him for being a Muslim.
Ryan Giggs. I will never forget what Ryan Giggs did January 1st, 2020. That's what I'm saying. Pogba was injured praying in the Quran. And Ryan Giggs was like, that's a sign of a player that is not really interested in being United.
Yeah.
My man was injured, praying, and someone said, this is a sign. they just wanted to find something to talk about. And the media, you're responsible, because the thing with Pogba is that Pogba just wants to be loved. I always say it. Pogba just wanted to be loved.
I don't think he just that he wants to be loved, but he just loves Man U.
No, no, no.
He's unfortunate that his Man U he ended up loving, I'll be honest with
bro,
you.
Bro, a player like him wants to be loved. That, yeah. I think that's why he wants to go back to Juve. Because he could think of going back to Madrid. Because he wants to be loved. He wants to be in a place that even there was an interview with the last one he did with Undisputed.
Undisputed.
Sorry, not Undisputed, my bad.
Like a whip?
No, no, no. An interview video. I'll get it now. I'll get it. Sorry. Yeah, Uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. He did an interview with Uninterrupted, and he said the one thing that he wants to be for his next chapter is that he wants a place where he needs to be loved. Pogba is a baller, and players like that, when you give him the... he needs the confidence to show you that you back him.
PP, come Arsenal, man.
Hmm?
Come Arsenal. We'll show you
bro, what that is. And you know when people are like, Man City are just trying to make sure that... Make Man U sign a new contract for him. The fact that Pep Guardiola invited him, they went for dinner, they went out, and he spoke to him. Pep himself personally spoke to him, gave him an offer that was just below De Bruyne and Haaland.
No, he rejected.
He rejected it.
Because he loves Man U.
He rejected it, and everyone is saying, I'm not saying Paul is not part of the problem. He was inconsistent. He was inconsistent.
It's not that he's part of the problem.
He had his own problems.
Yeah.
He had his own problems. But to say that all of this is on him, fam, it is Man United that cost him. They brought Pogba thinking that Pogba will be the savior when he has never been like that. They brought Pogba thinking that, you know what, he's going to play this part. He's going to play as a DM. He's going to play as a defender. He's going to play as this. But with no plan to help him bring out the best in players. They buy players thinking that... It's the same way they bought Ronaldo thinking that... although he had a good season, but they did not buy players that are not in the right form of state. They scouted Jadon Sancho for how many years? 2 years to play him on the right wing, only for him to be a left winger. These are the situations with United. So everything... He is the experience to show how United are badly run.
Yeah. Yeah, but... Yeah, that's it for
farewell, Paul. I will miss you, but I wish you stayed in Man City so that I could have proved everyone wrong. But
let's prove everyone
wrong. Bro, I want you to win that Champions League, bro.
I also have a very, very sneaky feeling that Chelsea will not make top four next year. I could be 100% wrong. Game. I just go off and win the league, but I don't know. Just there's this feeling that just keeps. Just doesn't want to leave.
Football tingles.
Yeah, I don't think Chelsea will be great next year. I don't think Chelsea will. So and I'm not saying Arsenal will be great. Mm-hmm. By no means am I saying Arsenal will replace them in top four.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see them making top four as things stand right now.
Yeah. Why?
It's a lot. I think they've lost Aspi.
They've lost four. Rudiger, they've lost their back four.
Lost Christensen.
Marcos Alonso leaving too.
Is he leaving?
Yeah.
Or have they lost him?
No, Marcos Alonso said he's leaving. He said he wants to go back to Spain.
So Alonso might be going to Barcelona with Azpilicueta. Who else do they have? Their midfield doesn't really entice me, I'll be honest with you.
The lack of creativity in that midfield is one.
Kovacic stands out to me. Jorginho does his role. Kante seems to be on the decline.
Jorginho wants to even leave as well too.
He wants to leave?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's the problem. Kante seems to be on the decline. I don't expect Conor Gallagher to come in and perform at the level that these players were playing at.
Mm-hmm.
Lukaku is being a football prostitute.
Can we pause and speak on Lukaku, please? Or you don't want to?
What are we going to say that hasn't been said? He's disrespectful. I'll be honest with you. If I'm a Chelsea fan, I would never.
I've never seen a player like you know. There
a
was
man kissed the West Brom badge, kissed the Everton badge, kissed the Man United badge, kissed the Inter Milan badge, kissed the Chelsea badge. Bro, you straight up, you're a prostitute. That's what you are.
No, I'm just saying that there's a way a player will even try for next season. But my man has been texting.
He's running from the grind.
He's texting his exes, bro. Texting his ex. After they say he should stay, he said he wanted to stay. After I say you wanted to stay, you now change it on your word.
Did bro. A whole last interview to apologize for this thing. He's running straight up.
Oh, my God.
Things, I appreciated Lukaku for his mentality. everything he said about one. I think there's a
Players Tribune where he did his interview.
The stuff about his mom not being able to afford. I can't remember the full story.
Where they used to put milk and everything inside water.
Milk and she put water inside milk. Yeah. And that day he decided he was gonna. You know, I respected his grind. That's the one thing I always respected about him. But right now he's running from it. Like,
not even try at all. No try. Like you could even try for one more season and be like, you know, let's see if it works out. But it seems like you don't want to even be there. Nah, man.
Yeah. Just because the situation is not favorable doesn't mean you have to run it.
Lukaku.
Chelsea paid a lot of money for you, bro.
Record signing. You're now their highest paid. What do you expect Inter to do now? I want to see the resolution that will happen here.
Chelsea will probably have to sell him at a loss.
They'll probably do a 2-year loan with option to buy.
Yeah, I mean, Serie A, bro. They bloody love 2-year loans.
2-year loan with option to buy. Yeah, or obligation to buy.
As for Scamacca, they will tell you 50 million, but they will sell him to Inter for 10 million with 2-year loan option. Please. But yeah, Chelsea just doesn't look.
Bro, that team needs a massive rebuild more and more.
They just don't look. Like, Ziyech is trash. I don't know how they can accommodate Werner. Mason Mount is Mason Mount. Loftus-Cheek should actually be in season right now, if you know what I mean.
Don't.
I don't know. It
looks messy.
Yeah.
Very, very messy.
Messy is the word.
It looks very, very messy in Chelsea's camp right now that I'm just like, huh. You lost the whole back for Thiago Silva and Malang Sarr.
And normally.
I would say they were going to get out of it.
Because of Big Daddy Roman.
But Todd B said he's gonna spend money, but
we don't know who Todd B is. These Americans.
I mean, Dodgers, like from what they say in the Dodgers really spend a lot of money to make more money.
Yeah, but there's always a cap space in America. Mm-hmm. There's no cap space in UK.
I just want to see how it works out for Chelsea because they should be signing right now.
Like paying into the luxury tax in America is nothing compared to what it takes to run a football club. You can sign a player for 90 million this year and the fans are crying for 100 million player next year.
In America?
In UK.
True. I just don't know who it is that they can even sign right now. Just maybe Jose Conde.
Yeah, apparently they're interested in Gabriel Jesus.
Oh, yes, as well, too.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to Arsenal. Rest, loud. Because he even said, Moika Fabrizio said this morning that the Real Madrid interest is done.
Speaking of Arsenal's future, this is a very, very important window for my beloved club. And right now, all we are doing is appreciating players, getting links to players, showing interest. Be decisive.
Liverpool, like someone said, Liverpool is the person that will show interest today. And they're signing you tomorrow, bro.
Bro, please be decisive. Bro. Step one of this summer was keeping Saliba. Tick.
Done.
Tick. Fantastic business. Offer him a new contract.
They said, I don't know, when I read some things, it makes me think a lot. Saliba has 2 years left on his contract.
If Saliba plays next season, he's not going anywhere.
Okay.
And he's going to play next season. Like, listen to what Teta said. Teta said he doesn't know how much game time Saliba would have been able to get this season.
Saliba had the highest.
With the lack of European football.
He had the highest playing what he had minutes for his age or something like that, or under 23.
Like I can't fault that. I'm not saying Gabriel or Ben White are better than Saliba, but like he would not have had enough games to show how good he would have been in that Rob Holding role. And he would have been mad at that. So I respect the decision to send him out on loan. Now that he's come back, now he seems to have matured, made the most passes in League One history ever last season. League One Young Player of the Year. Got that guy for 26 million. He's basically a new signing right now in our defense. That's step one, tick. Go out there, buy Jesus. There's talks about Scamacca. I don't really know him. I'm not going to act like I pretend.
Someone said Italian striker taxed.
I don't trust Italian striker. Vlahovic really gave me PTSD. I won't even lie to you.
Italian striker tax in situation. I think it was even Fabio Capello that said, look at all the strikers that people are always talking about, like Lukaku, Tammy or some of them, that when they go to Italian Serie A, they move mad, but now they are here just like
Maybe not just strikers, maybe Italian players in general. I mean, Italian players. I saw Culture Comes making a point the other day that he thinks Zola is the greatest Italian footballer in Premier League, but I don't think he ever won Prem. That Italian footballers move Buki in Premier League.
Italian players in the league. What's going on? All of them stayed in Italy. The best Italian players stayed in Italy. Talking about Del Piero, De Rossi.
Yeah, they did.
What do you call it?
Buffon.
Buffon. In
the guy that won Ballon d'Or. The centre back.
Cannavaro.
Cannavaro.
Cannavaro won Madrid though.
Yeah, he did.
Like, it's I don't know why no main name is coming from to me from Italy.
Yeah, but still in Arsenal, just get Gabi Jesus. We're gonna get Tielemans, 25 million. That's solid business. Probably get Gabi Jesus as well. Most likely gonna get Jesus. But as far as if you're getting Jesus, you need a creative wide player who's gonna get you goals.
Mm-hmm.
You just like I'm reaching, but Serge Gnabry is just right there. He's just right. Fortunately for you, you're in a position where you can attract him without Champions League football. Fortunately, and that's just because he loves the club. So just try. Like I'm
remember, I was talking about a leader that someone who has been there, done that for a while, and everything. Maybe that's the kind of player.
Gnabry is right there, bro. He's right there. Right there, and he's rejected every. He will leave Bayern Munich. It's all about where he will end up right now. And if Arsenal have sense, he should end up at Arsenal. He should go all out for him. I like the talks on Zinchenko. I mean, Premier League winner. He's not coming to start. He's coming to back up KT and also give us options in midfield. That's a solid signing. Those four players would give us a better chance of making top four than what we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tielemans and Jesus is not enough. Point blank period is just not enough. It's not. We're going to put ourselves in a situation where in January, we're going to be hassling for another player again, and it's going to end up messing us up.
But here's the thing. January window this year is going to be mad.
Yeah.
And for me, I think Arsenal are on the right track. Jesus signing, Tielemans. Also, sometimes I think about Yuri Tielemans because I've always loved him. But anytime I see his work rate off the ball.
You don't worry about that. Teta will take care of it.
Okay. If you think that. That's been my work rate off the ball. Like, he always seems to be not that fit guy. But if Teta, because one thing about Teta is like, he loves stringent. Like
I feel like Teta deserves more respect though than he gets.
No, like we've said it here on the pod that we know, we think he has the ideas. We know.
I'm not saying he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Mm-hmm.
But people are acting like he's a bum.
It's not. He's not. He's tactically astute. He
knows what like the
he's very
the
stubborn.
Players I'm seeing Arsenal going for shows me that. He knows what he wants. He knows this is like Jesus. I respect it, but Jesus is not going to be enough without another creative wide player.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're signing Jesus, maybe you sign another striker because of Jesus' ability to command any position in the front three. Get another center forward.
I
feel like Ikea is going to take a huge step next season.
Ikea,
I can see him scoring 7 to 10 Premier League goals.
That's a good season. That's a good season for 2021. 10
I can see him scoring 10 Premier League goals.
10 and 5. Yeah. 10 and 5 would be good. 10 goals, 5 assists would be good for him. But yeah, like I said, Arsenal on the right track. Although they didn't make top 4, like I think it was a good thing for them to. I think even not making top 4 was the right step.
I don't know, but like just need to tie Saka and Saliba down. Go out there, do the. Like, get Jesus and Tielemans sorted.
Plus,
first.
I think fans need to relax. Transfer window is open today.
Yeah. But get Jesus and Tielemans sorted. And
I'm saying it again. General transfer window will be more business than you people. Because you think about this.
The football schedule this year is ridiculous.
Bro, I hate how they are treating players. Like this Nations League, this thing. How can they? They are playing until June 18th.
I don't even know what the whole Nations League is. It's like that finalism, I think it's very useless.
In fact, you know what's funny? CONCACAF and what do you call it? CONMEBOL. CONCACAF is in North America, right?
Yeah.
They've started their own Nations League.
What the hell is like?
Because
what happened to Confederations Cup?
No one talk about that, you know. Confederations Cup. I was just thinking about it.
What happened to
what talking about Confederations Cup when I remember Neymar in 2013? 2013 top,
Confed Cup was.
Bro, that spin. This thing, that thing, oh my god, yeah, I can never forget that Neymar's final, goal,
I did
bro.
Not believe it.
We're talking about, I don't know, like, but you know what, they said less friendlies.
I'd much rather have Confederations Cup than Nations League.
Plus, these players need rest. This they ended this, I think, June 16th, June 18th. Preseason start May 2nd or May 3rd or something. Sorry, July 2nd.
And then you have, like, this, first of all, the decision to give Qatar the World Cup, like, I'm not getting into politics, but it doesn't make any sense to me. I'll be honest with you.
Then we're now talking about Champions League is going to end in November.
What?
The group stage is going to end in November.
Oh, as opposed to December.
As opposed to December. Europa League, same thing.
Then players will jet off to players will jet Qatar.
So guess what? The season will pause in, I think, a week in November. First or second week in November. They have 1 week to train before the World Cup. Then the World Cup will not end. Premier League will now start on Boxing Day.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Premier League starts in December.
No, it starts in the beginning. It starts in August, right?
No, I'm saying like Premier League will resume in December. Despite the World Cup. And then there will probably be AFCON in 2023 AFCON summer.
In 2023. No, in January.
What?
There's AFCON in 2023.
So players that go for World Cup and qualify for AFCON will be missing for 2 months. Well, effectively one month.
Pretty much. It's 2 months. Well, effectively 1 month, basically.
What?
Then this transform.
I don't even like the whole idea of playing an international, like, international competition in the middle of the season. The best AFCON I've watched in recent years was the one in 2019.
That's the
Mahrez. That's when Mahrez hit that free kick against Nigeria,
yeah.
I don't get the decision to keep
that's
it in January.
That's actually true. That's actually true. The transfer, the AFCON.
That AFCON was good. Was really
was
good.
Was really, really good. Right now, the World Cup should be starting. In fact, I think the World Cup should be starting today. But because of Qatar and their money and all of that, let's not even do politics.
It doesn't make any sense.
But I'm just saying the players, like, people need to start considering the players. Like, I know they give us the fun and the escape.
And why is the AFCON 2 years in a row?
I think because there was no AFCON. No.
Because AFCON was meant to be... AFCON was meant to be in 2021. One. So why didn't they do it 2021 summer? Because of Euros? The Euros and AFCON can't go on at the same time.
I don't know. I don't know. I think the AFCON was meant to be in 2021, January.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm just saying...
AFCON is usually every 2 years.
One thing about this is that the players... are going to suffer and we'll see a lot of shortened careers much more than people think.
The schedule right from COVID
till now
up until now has been crazy.
No rest. This is the best time for anyone. Everyone should just fake injuries, bro. Stop faking injuries, because at this point, this Nations League one, how can you be playing 4 matches? I thought it was only 3. They're playing all the way to June 18th.
Nations League is even useless, in my opinion. It's
money, money, money ruins this sport, bro. Money ruins this sport.
Nations League's finalissima, everything is just useless.
Just making money, and yeah, just to make money.
Oh no, man, I don't buy it. Not that I don't buy it, but like I don't support it.
Oh, Man City get Haaland too.
Yeah, where did they go from first to first? Not really much of a big
and
deal.
That Julian Alvarez boy too, it seems
that
like
guy scares me. He scares
you know
me.
One of those things where it's like, because again United were linked to him, I'm just like, you could have taken the chance, but they didn't want to make any
because Pep has pump faked them too much,
bro, man. I just think, like, you know what, maybe Haaland just makes the league just be like, but Liverpool got Darwin Nunes too, so we're like okay, I think that's why Liverpool got them.
Liverpool and they're losing Sadio Mane.
Mane too, and Origi.
Mane is going for 35 million. That is just... That's a fat L. Fattest L I've seen in my life.
No, even what they call these people. Liverpool don't want anything less than 50 million euros, just 42.5.
Bayern were even bringing up the fact that they let Thiago go for...
20 million.
Please. Yeah, Mane leaving Liverpool is a big deal. Club legend. Mm-hmm. Won everything with the club. I don't know why he left. I don't know why he's deciding to leave.
Because he's looking for a new challenge.
Well, I respect that.
He could just decide to stay. I'm going to do it. But I respect that. Like, players, you could get too comfortable.
Hey, man, Sergio, there's no bigger challenge than Arsenal. No bigger challenge in the world.
Yeah. But do you have anything else? Or what else?
No, I think that's all. The season schedule, how much Nations League is useless.
Can I also speak a little on Man United just for like 2 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Everyone out
Barcelona
there.
Barcelona too.
You guys are so broke. Barcelona.
You guys are so broke, bro.
Bro, if you want to go do a wedding in Barcelona, you can actually rent out the Camp Nou right now.
Broke. I can borrow you guys money. If
you can borrow, like, bro. Someone said we'll soon start OnlyFans, bro. OnlyFans, they will put their PayPal in their link, in the link below, man.
Okay,
GoFundMe, man. What the hell?
These guys will soon start sponsoring Barcelona.
Who?
Those guys, those YouTube guys.
Oh,
though.
My God.
The Manscaped. Manscaped.
Bro, Manscaped. 20% off. Bro, Barcelona, I don't know what Bartomeu did to you, but you guys are in the trenches. We're talking about 500 million.
I think it's, they said something like La Liga president is trying to get them to sign over their TV rights.
And so
because of that, they just doghousing them, like, yeah, doing everything in the world to make their lives
move. Eventually sign that thing, and
I mean, they have to sell Frankie de Jong.
Frankie is coming to United. Which
I don't know if he's coming to United, because they have to sell him. Yeah. But United is the only club that's interested right now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's coming to United. City can just swoop in.
I think a deal of 60 million should do it, but Barcelona,
they want 80.
80 million euros.
Yeah.
Which is like 72.
Yeah.
So basically, what we're going to do is get to this thing of 60 million.
I mean, 60. It's a solid signing given his history with
Eric.
ETH.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is that after that signing, what do United do?
Do they rent Timber?
Okay, we
I don't know about him.
But we don't still have a DM. You know another signing that I
Do you know your midfield as of right now?
Fred and McTominay.
Yeah.
That's what, bro.
And Van der Beek.
Okay, that one is there. We can just say added this thing, but we need a DM. And I think Frankie is not the DM we need. Frankie is Pogba replacement. Buy a Matic replacement there. I don't know how many DMs are in the league.
Neves.
Neves is there. Neves is leaving, apparently, to Barcelona. I don't know where Barcelona wants to get their money.
He's
there was
going
something
to Barcelona.
About Barcelona wanting them, or Barcelona wanting Bernardo Silva or Lewandowski. Which, by the way, Lewandowski, man, I don't know.
Yeah, Lewy might be going to Barcelona as well. This transfer window is just
crazy. It's mad. Like, Lewandowski wanting to go to Barcelona, apparently, because Barcelona were he wanted a new contract. Bayern were now going to try for Haaland.
Oh, the disrespect.
He said, no, I don't want to stay. Then Ole Hunes and all of these people, they were like, yeah, you know, they have to pay something. So he's getting messy in Bayern right now. But Barcelona want to sign Rafinha, they want to sign Bernardo Silva, they have not even registered, what do you call it? What's this guy?
You guys? Kessie.
Kessie and
they're about to get Christensen as well.
They've not registered them yet. So they have to sell a whole bunch of
and
players.
Apparently Barcelona is not even happy with Frankie's performances.
Yeah, apparently Gabi and Pedri have been pinching him, which scares me.
Frankie is solid. He balls for the Dutch side.
He's a baller. I'm just saying that he raises the technical level for United from a team that doesn't have anything. I think also
one-legged, he raises the technical ability.
And also Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, sleeper. It's a sleeper. Solid buy.
On a 2-year contract plus
he's
one extension. Heavily. 2-year contract plus one extension, Christian Eriksen. Then, I don't know, I've been shouting about Ibrahim Sangare, and I'm still reading on him, but I think Ibrahim Sangare is...
I don't rate him like that.
Have you read his scout report? Have you done...
I have watched him a couple times. He hasn't impressed me. No, it's Sumari.
Sangare. Ibrahim Sangare that's in PSV. He played against... And I'm sure Erik ten Hag has an eye on him too, because he was in PSV.
It's a long summer. Summer is just starting. As fans, we can be impatient.
As far as I'm concerned, do not expect anything from United. Do not expect a title challenge. The least you can expect is to make them top.
Do you want to bet that United fans are running their mouth? The way they're running their mouth,
We are not going to make... We're never going to be close to the title challenge. I think we're going to be in top four.
A certain United fan bet me that we're going to make top three.
they're not making top four
next season.
The person you people need to be careful of is Spurs.
The Perisic signing normally wouldn't scare me,
but it's Conte.
Conte system, I'm like, yeah, that's a perfect.
It is Conte. Then they go and sign some of these other players. They want to spend a bunch of money on defenders.
Apparently, they want to sign.
Not Bastoni.
There's this guy. Oh, how can I forget? Jed Spence.
And right wing back.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And they signed Fraser Foster as well as backup.
Bro, Spurs, if Spurs get like three or four more signings, let's say they get a midfielder and they get a good defender to back up Cruti Romero.
They're not getting Bastoni. Bastoni is staying in Inter.
Oh, no, not Bastoni. They'll find another defender.
Apparently, they might be going for Langley. Please do. I accept that. Go ahead.
I'm just saying Spurs are a sleeping giant. But
giant?
Sleeping dog. Let's put them dog, not giant. Because I think, yeah, that makes them more or less one of the people.
Yeah, and just Conte's presence alone.
Maybe like you said, the Spurs of Antonio Conte, the cost of Spurs is not really bigger than Antonio Conte.
We'll see. I mean, they just got Perisic. I think it's a solid signing.
Yeah.
They want to get Jed Spence. They got Fraser Forster. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Next season is already looking like it's going to be a mazzaline.
Do you have any episodes for them during the summer?
We'll see. Episodes during the summer might just be like, they won't be transfer related. It'll be like heavily topic related.
Okay.
Like, you know, I'm not going to give out anyway any of the topics. But.
And we have we have something coming up soon. A new section of the podcast and everything. We'll announce it in due time.
All right. Have a lovely day. Thank you for listening to another episode of the
See you guys podcast. When we come.
Check us out on all podcast streaming platforms. This has been For Us for season 1. Have a lovely day.
Thank you for listening.